Okay. We're going to try to finish up most of the introduction today, and either way we'll make some references to the Gemara. Thank you. So last week we began just doing a survey of the role of Shechita and how it fits in terms of the history of, I guess, the history of Halacha, the history of the Jewish people, really. And it just, it's very fortuitous that it coincides with the Parshios that we're reading now, Bereishis, and of course we just read Parshas Noach. So basically we tried to establish was that obviously there was a huge change that took place in the aftermath of the Mabul, as we discussed. Before the Mabul, in the time of Adam HaRishon, the view of most Rishonim is that there was a prohibition to eat meat. I say most Rishonim, I said it last time also. The exception really is Bali Tosis. Tosis in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes, suggests that the only thing that was usur in the time of Bereishis was to kill animals in order to eat them. But actually to eat the meat of an animal that had already died, that was not usur. That's the view of the Bali Tosis. But the general consensus view, Rashi in his Perush Al HaTorah, and Rashi in Sanhedrin, most of the Rishonim in Sanhedrin, most of the Mefarshim in Bereishis and in Noach, certainly the Ramban, whose positions we were operating with last time, is that Basar was completely prohibited in the time of Adam HaRishon. Somebody asked me the question last time. I thought I would get to it in the end, but I didn't. What about the Korban of Hevel? That Hevel brought a Korban. Cain brought, from the produce of the field, Hevel's Korban was apparently more satisfactory. That in itself led to all sorts of problems, as we know. But how could Hevel have brought a Korban if there was a prohibition against Achilas Basar? So the truth is, it's a very good question. The Chazal, the Medrash Rabbah, suggests that Noach also brought a Korban, actually. The Ramban, in his comment on the Parsha of Hevel, says, Sod gadol yesh b'davar zeh, because in general there's a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban about the purpose and the function of Korbanos. The Rambam in Mor Nebuchim has a very controversial passage in which he seems to indicate that the purpose of Korbanos is somehow a concession to man's inability to overcome his desire to, you know, to be involved in a avodah zara like behavior, and that the Torah was channeling his focus on physical things, channeling it at least in the direction of avodas Hashem. That's what the Rambam seems to indicate, kind of like an antidote to avodah zara. And the Ramban in Vayikra sharply disagrees with the Rambam. He says it's impossible that the institution of Korbanos is really connected to neutralizing some sort of negative inclination. Korbanos are viewed as some very lofty ideal in Halacha. The truth is, I think that the Rambam also believes that. The Rambam makes it perfectly clear in Hilchos Melachim that Bimos HaRashiach, when all the institutions of Jewish law return, one of the first and most important to return is the institution of Korbanos. I think what the Rambam really means is that the themes in Korbanos are very lofty and very idealistic, but they perhaps could have been expressed in different ways too. There could have been a different method of conveying them, a different mechanism of conveying them, and the reason that the sacrifice of animals was chosen is because in addition it also addressed man's need to focus on something concrete and so on. But that's for another discussion. In any case, the reason I'm mentioning it now is that in the context of Hevel, this is the first explicitly recorded Korban in the Torah, so the Ramban says, Sod gadol yesh b'davar zeh, there's an important secret message in all of this, referring to his debate with the Rambam. If you look later on in Vayikra, he refers back to this, meaning the fact that the Avos, even Adam HaRishon, according to the Gemara, and Hevel, certainly according to Tarshim B'Chsab, are at the very beginning of time were already being makrav karbanos, this indicates that hakravas karbanos is a very idealistic. It wasn't connected to Avodah Zarah in the time of Adam and Hebel. Again, I just think the Rambam wouldn't be that bothered by this question, but that's what the Ramban indicates. But the Ramban doesn't address the question that some of you raised last time, which is how could there be a karban if there was an iser of achilas basar?
Why is there contradiction?
Oh, okay, why not?
Oh,
very good. So the and was there even shechita? We don't know what happened with this karban. So the Radak, I just wanted to point, the Radak of the Rishonim is the one who does address it. The Radak says, don't think that this is a karban in the normal sense of the term. Karban shlamim. He says there is a debate whether it was an ola or a shlamim. He says that it makes more sense that it was an ola. If it was an ola, in his opinion, there wasn't even shechita, because why would there be shechita before the heter of achilas basar if shechita was the matir of achilas basar, which is what we've been discussing and are going to continue to discuss tonight more fully. So he says, in his opinion, it wasn't shechita, and of course it wasn't achila. It was, burned or some other way in which the Ribbono Shel Olam signaled his, reach lichoach, that it was ratzui lefanav. But it's interesting to note that the Radak is the one who addresses this question. He says, and if it was a shlamim, that only means that whatever happened to this karban, certain parts of it, the shemen, mishamneim, other parts may have been eaten, but certainly the basar itself was not eaten. That's the Radak's view of the matter. In any case, the consensus view, of course, according to the Baalei Tosfos, it wouldn't really be such a problem. They could argue that even the basar could be eaten, but that is the minority view. The majority, not only majority, the almost consensus view of the Rishonim and the Mefarshim is that there really was an absolute Iser of Achilas Basar until the time of Noach. What we tried to show last week was, if you look at the Pesukim in Noach, the ones that we just read in this last week's Parsha, it's clear that this represents a sea change, a cataclysmic change in the history of mankind. Now again, the Ramban certainly understands it this way. The Radak, in this case, tempers that a little bit. The Radak says it was always destined that man would eat meat because man's relationship to the animal, the hierarchy was always very clear that the animal is there for the sake of man. Again, the save the whale people don't go along with this Radak or the Ramban's view for that matter, but the Ramban, Radak, most of the views of the Medrash make it perfectly clear that the environment and it needs to be respected, but the environment, the animals, they're all put there for the purpose of Avodas Hashem and for man's Avodas Hashem at that. So the Radak says that it was always destined that man would eat meat. However, the Ribbono Shel Olam waited until the time of Noach, because since Noach did this heroic act, although he was responding to a tzivui, but nonetheless, he was able to respond magnificently to the challenge of building the teva and saving all of the animals, and he preserved all the species. So, kind of like a Megalgalin Schus Ayde Zakai kind of argument, we held back the heter of Achilas Basar until the time of Noach, but it was always destined to be that way. That is the view of the Radak. They don't really speak about fish, to be honest. Again, the truth is that by process of elimination, it would seem that fish was prohibited as well. In other words, the diukim are that asev is permitted. Even then, by the way, there's an interesting argument. Rashi is of the opinion in a few places that the diet of man and animal at the time of Adam HaRishon was the same. In other words, man was allowed to eat asev and asev Zareya Zera and pre-ates Osef for pre-Leminehu, right? That's explicit in the Pasuk. And Rashi assumes that the same is true for animals. The Ramban disagrees with Rashi on that point. He says, even then, man had more options than the animal. The animal was allowed to eat Asev, not necessarily even Asev Zareya Zera, and certainly not Eitz Pre Osef Pre-Leminehu. That was limited That was limited to that. But from those arguments, it would appear that that dogim, you know, would have been prohibited as well.
My question was focused on the Ramban as a kind of hakoras opposed to the animals, some kind of
right, right. I mean, the fish didn't. Yeah, I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I don't know. But he does. He's one of the people who makes this diuk about, you know, eitz pri eitz pri, for the distinction between man and animals in terms of their own diet. I hear the question. I don't have a good answer. Yeah. The Radak is you know, where you would expect it to be. The Radak's point about basar is found in two places. One in Bereishis, in the very beginning, on the pasuk where the diet is defined. Again, we have the psukim here. What is it? Pasuk Chavtes, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chavtes, and Lamed. L'kol chayis ha'aretz, l'kol ha'af ha'shamayim, l'kol romeis ha'aretz, asher bo nefesh chaya, is kol yarek esev l'achla v'ayhichein. He also adds, by the way, the words v'ayhichein, according to the Radak, interestingly mean that, and it's especially meaningful for the Radak, because as I just indicated, the Radak has this view that man was always destined to eat the flesh of animal, just that it was going to be delayed until the time of Noah. That's his personal view. But he says, v'ayhichein means that for this time, for this period until Noah, man was going to be satisfied with that. And that's, the Ribbono Shel Olam made this consistent with his nature and with his inclination. That's what the word Vayhi Chein. Not only, because what does Vayhi Chein have to do with the tzivui about the diet? You know, if you say that man was made or animals were created in a certain way, or the sun and the moon was made Vayhi Chein, and so it was, that makes sense. But if you're talking about you know, what should be eaten, and you say Vayhi Chein, what does that mean? They complied? So the Radak says, not that they complied, but their nature was adjusted so that this would be practicable, doable. So he has it here, the Radak says it on Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chavtes or Lamed, one or the other, and then he repeats it again in the context of Noach, when you have the change on in Perek Tes, Pasuk, Perek Tes, Pasuk, I guess base, or based on Gimel, Ko Remes Asheru Chai Lachem Yel Achla Ki Yerek Esav Nasati Lachem Es Kol. So then he repeats this idea again. Again, the other Radak that I mentioned before is in the context of Hebel. I think it's Perek Dalid in Bereishis, wherever it is. It's in other words, if you have the normally we don't speak about the Radak al Torah, but if you have the Torah Chayim, the Kros Gadolos, so they print the Radak on the page. And, you know, sometimes they're very fascinating. Sometimes the Ramban draws from the Radak. The Radak was prior to the Ramban. And he has very interesting things. But that's the view of the Radak. The view of the Ramban, and I think most of Farshim and most views of Chazal, is that not only was the Heter Basar delayed until Noah, but it really was, as I say, a transformative, new order kind of a Heter. Meaning man's nature changed. After the Mabul. Now again, whether it changed for the better or for the worse, whether this is a function of his elevated status and his more ideal stature, or the opposite, namely he's no longer capable of reining in his most base passions, that too is clearly a different of opinion in Chazal and in the Mefarshim, in the Rishonim. Again, the Ramban sees this as a reward, the Radak in a way as well. Others see it as a reflection of his deterioration. The fact that, you know, he already, Vatishachei Sa'aretz, man and animal both proved themselves to be unworthy of the original Bria. I guess much in the same way, although it's not linked to my knowledge explicitly, but much in the same way as there was the change from Elohim to Hashem, from Midas Adin to Midas Arachamim, because mankind wasn't capable of sustaining the high level, so too there was this change from Yerek and Esev and Priates into Basar. This is really these are different views of Chazal. These are the different views in the Rishonim as well. But getting back to the beginning of Chulin, so what we're trying to explain was that after the Heter Basar comes in the same context as the Iser of Eber Min Achai, the reiteration of Piria Verivia, and especially the prohibition against murder, all in order to establish that two very important related issues. Number one, once there is a heter basar, it could be construed as man deteriorating into a more animalistic state, and therefore you have to reestablish the tzelem elokim, namely the idea, prohibition of murder, no evar min achai, no achilas dam, a hint at kisli adam, things of that sort. That's number one. At the same time, the point is to make this into a kind of davar shebikdusha. The point is that there's going to be basar, but not only should not deteriorate to other things, but because it is accompanied by these other limitations, so basically it is going to not be treated as a concession, but treated as an opportunity. And the Ramban's comment that we read last time in Parshas Achrei Mos, in the context of Shkutei Chutz, where he makes the point that Noach, the first thing he did when he left the Teva, was he built him his Mizbeach, and he brought a korban from the animals. Ramban says that that too was important in the heter of Basar. He doesn't explain what he means. But from my point of view, I think what he means is that this first action, this first way of relating to Basar, to animals, established that there could be a context of Davar Shebikdusha for Achilas Basar. And that set the tone, critically, going forward for Achilas Basar. And then if you look at the Ramban back in Bereishis, where he talks about the bracha of Shechita, it's very poignant, because that's what he says. Zeh atam ha-shechita, this is Ramban Bereishis Perek Aleph, Zeh atam ha-shechita, ma'ash amr tzar ba'lechaim doraisa, v'zu birchaseinu shemavarech, asher kedishan ha-dutzosa v'tzivanu al ha-shechita. He already is anticipating this in Bereishis. So what we then went on to show was the Torah does describe Shechita in the context of Kodshim, right? In the beginning of Ayikra, and in Shemos in the context of Korban Pesach. Now the question is, if Shechita is an important part, and it's one of the four avodos of Kodshim, there's Shechita, Kabbalah, Zrika, Halacha rather, and Zrika. Those are the four avodos in Kodshim. So, and not only that, but Shechita is the first, and it's a tone setter. It has certain special dinim. I think I mentioned last time, the Mishnah in Zvachim speaks about the additional requirements of Lishma, six or so Lishmas that you require. It seems like the Rambam thinks that they are specifically related to Shechita. So Shechita is very prominent. In Korban Pesach, it's exceptionally prominent. And even in a regular Korban, Shechita is very, very prominent. Now the question is, so if Shechita is a davar shebikdusha in Karbanos, what is its status in Chulin? Will we say that Kodshim is Kodshim and Chulin is Chulin, and they have nothing, one has nothing to do with the other? In other words, we know that the Torah values Shechita greatly in the context of a Karban, but outside of Karbanos, we begin. On neutral ground. We have no indication that Shechita is anything but a matir. It's the method of being machshir achilas basar, making it kosher. But making it into a davar shebikdusha, or the idea that it's the same Shechita, of course it doesn't create a karban, but the point is the idea that it's anything more than a coincidence or an overlap, that you have Shechita's chulin as you have Shechita's kodshim, we might deny that. Or, maybe that's exactly the point. The Torah emphasizes the role of Shechita in Kodshim before we encounter Shechita in the context of Chulin, because it's setting the groundwork for understanding the nature of this Heter Achilas Basar. It's being elevated by something that comes from the world of Kodshim. I think that's what the Ramban was alluding to in his Noach comment, in Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Achrei Mos, namely the fact that Noach first brought a korban with and did so a day Shechita perhaps was very crucial to everything that was to follow. So in order to pursue this issue, we need to look at the psukim themselves. This is what we ended up with. We need to look at the psukim that are the source of Shechita's chulin. So that's Dvarim. Okay, we also noted that the Isur Nevela and the Isur Trepa are spoken of as Dvarim Shebekdusha, which also fits into this whole picture. But let's for the moment turn to the actual psukim that are the source for Shkitas Chulin. And that's Dvarim Perek Yudbeis. It's page 3 in the sheets that we handed out last week. Okay. The context, I should mention again, is a Kodshim context. Meaning, all the psukim surrounding the two psukim that we're going to focus on are psukim that have to do with the need to bring Kodshim to the Beis HaMikdash or to the Mishkan in its time. You can't eat Kodshim b'chutz. For example, just look at the, if you look at Dvarim Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'hoya mokam asher yivcha Hashem Elokecha Elokechem bo l'shaken shemo shama taviyu es kol asher anochi mitzaveh eschem oloseichem v'zivchechem ma'asroseichem u'trumas yedchem v'kol mivchar nidrechem asher tidru la'ashem. Basically, what are we saying? All dvarim shebekdusha, whatever form they may take, ola, zevach, meiser, truma, all of it requires the mokom HaMikdash. That's what we're being told. And then I skip some psukim because it's basically continues with the same theme. And then we have a bit of a break in Pasuk Tezvah, where we're told, Rak, however, V'chol avas nafshecha, tizbach v'achalta basar, whenever you have the desire, the passion, right, you should shech and eat meat. Kibirchas Hashem alokecha asher nasan lach, v'chol sharecha, hatzamei v'hatahor yochalenu, katzvi v'cha ayom. You can eat them, and you can eat them betuma, like you would eat a tzvi and an ayol. A tzvi and an ayol are chayos. They are not behemos. They're wild animals. And they are not capable of becoming korbanos. And you can eat them, therefore, betuma. So the Torah is telling us, b'chol avas nafshecha, when you're interested in eating meat, you can do so tizbach through shchita, and you can eat them like you eat a tzvi v'ayol betuma. What is this pasuk talking about? So in Torah Shebichtav, it looks like it's talking about Basar Taiva, Basar Chulin. The Ibn Ezra, the Rashbam on this pasuk, say it's talking about Basar Taiva, Basar Chulin. However, Rashi, quoting the Sifrei, says that's not what it's speaking about at all. If you look down the next section for a second, go back and forth, Rak b'chol avas nafshecha, Rashi says, v'mea kasuz medaber. What is this pasuk talking about? In the basar taiva, basar that you simply have a desire to eat, lahatira lahem b'lo akravasei murim, to teach you that you can eat it without any kind of protocol of kodshim, harei omer b'makam acher. We have five psukim later, pasuk we're going to get to in a minute, ki yachiv Hashem elokechos gebulcha, v'amarta ochla basar, v'meze medaber. So then what is Pasuk Tezvav talking about if Pasuk Chaf is talking about Pasuk Taiva? So Rashi explains, Bekadshim shenafal bahem mum, sheyiftu v'yochlu b'kol makom. It's talking about a case of psulei hamukdashim. You had a karban, it became a bal mum, so you can no longer bring it on the mizbeach. However, you can certainly eat it with shchita, and you can even eat it Bituma. That's what this pasuk is talking about. And Rashi explains, Tizbach v'yachalta, ein l'chabahem heter giza v'cheleb. You're not allowed to eat the fats, and you're not allowed to use the shearings. Elachila ayidei zvicha, because it's really has an origin in the world of kachim. And then the next Rashi, hatzadeva hatahar, rifi shabo mikoach kachim, shenera bahem habasar shehiga b'chol tamei lo yachel. Even though you can no longer bring this animal as a korban, one might have thought that you have to eat it only b'tahara, since its origins are in the world of kachim. Kamash malan, it's not so. But what's fascinating to me is, let's assume we should accept the Sifrei and Rashi, as opposed to the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra. This pasuk is talking about psulei hamukdashim. But what's fascinating is that Torah Shebichtav communicated it in such a way that one could have read it as a reference to Basar Taiva. Again, the Masorah is that it's not. But there's always, in my opinion, there's always significance to the formulation of Torah Shebichsav, even when Torah Shebalpeh teaches us to read it in a different way. It doesn't change the Masorah reading, but it adds a dimension of mystery, and in some cases it inspires us to look deeper to try to integrate the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. Why did the Torah communicate this pasuk in such a way that the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra insist that it also refers to Basar Taiv? And I think the answer, the direction is clear from what we already discussed, but I'll elaborate again in just a minute. Same phenomenon in the pasuk which traditionally is viewed as the makar, as the source of Heter Achilas Basar Al Yedei Shechitas Chulin. And that is pasuk Chaf. Again, I skipped a few more pasukim that again refer to coming to the Mikdash with your Karbanos. And then we have another Pasuk, which sounds very similar to Tezvah. Pasuk Chav. Ki Yarchiv Hashem Elokecha Oskibulcha, Kasher Dibelach. When you enter into Eretz Yisrael, in the Midbar they were all living in very constricted geographic location, right? Everybody was close to the Mishkan. There were these Machanos, but everybody was very close. And once you enter into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be living all over Eretz Yisrael, so you're going to be distant from the place of the Mikdash. Anybody who doesn't live close to Yerushalayim is going to be distant from the Mikdash. Be a Marta, and you'll say, Ochla Basar, Kita Ave Nafshecha. Right? Is it Nafshecha? Okay. So, Lechol Basar. You want to, you have a desire to eat, you have a passion to eat meat, and you're going to want to eat it. So the halach is, Bechol Abas Nafshecha, Tochal Basar. You should, you're allowed to indulge, you're allowed to eat basa. Then the pasuk continues, ach, however, I'm sorry, ki yir, I skipped the pasuk, chavalet, ki yirchak mimcha hamakom. When you are distant, sounds like a repeat of the previous pasuk, but, ki yirchak mimcha hamakom asher yivka Hashem elokecha lasum shemo sham, when you are distant from the mokom ashchina, v'zavachta mivkarecha mitzanecha, and you will shecht bakar v'tzon, which the Rebbeinu Shalom gave to you, kasher tzivisicha, it's a very loaded term, we'll see in a minute, as I commanded you, so then you will eat in your territories, meaning not only in the Mikdash, v'chalabas nafshecha, whatever you desire. Ah, however, Kasher Yeochelus Atzvi Vesayal, like the Tzvi and the Ayal, remember them from Pasuk Tezvav? Kein Tochalanu Hatameh V'Hatahar Yachdav Yochalanu, meaning you can eat them even Betuma, just like the Tzvi and the Ayal, just like we were told about the Pasuk that Rashi said previously, referred to Psulei Mukdashim. Rak, however, Chazak, right? Reinforce yourself. Levilti Achol Hadam, don't eat blood. Ki adam hu nefesh lo tochal nefesh im abasar lo sochalenu al aretz tishpachenu kamayim. So what's fascinating is, number one, last week we read through the parsha of Shchutei Chutz in Vayikra, Perek Yudzayin, right, with Nevela and Trepa, and again Rotseach and the Yisur Dam and Kisui Adam, and then of course we also read last weekend and in Shabbos the parsha Noach, which we just alluded to again. You can't eat dam, you can't eat every menachai, don't get carried away. You have it here again. The pattern is clear. But what's going on in this psukim, they sound the same as Pasuk Tezvav. What are they actually referring to? So if you look at Rashi here, Rashi Dvarim Perikibes Pasuk Chav, Ki Yarchiv, Rashi says, Limda de Torah Derech Eretz, the Torah teaches us a lesson, Shelo Yis'ada Adam Lecho Basar Elimitoch Rachvas Yadayim Ba'osha. That's number one. Actually, this is a Gemara on Pedalid in Chulin, and Rambam also quotes it in Hilchos Deos as an Eitz Tova, right? A person shouldn't be eating meat all the time, right? Only in a certain context. Okay. But then the next Rashi, B'chol Abbas Nafshecha, Aval B'midbar, Nesar Lahem Basar Chulin, Elim Kein Makdisha U'makriva Shlamin. This is meant to contrast the Midbar and Knesset L'Eretz Yisrael. Rashi here is adopting the position of Rabbi Ishmael, we alluded to it last time, we still have to discuss it inside. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Tazayin would base on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. I contend, but it depends on how you understand the sugya, really. But I contend that I'm not really being serious, but the Masechet Chulin should have really begun on Daf Tazayin Amud Beis and Daf Yud Zayin instead of on Daf Beis. Meaning, the first sugya in Chulin, if it had been organized according to the history of Heter Achilas Basar Al Yidei Shechita, really should have been the sugya that Rashi is alluding to now, which is that there was a transition period. It was Har Sinai to the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel's position was that in the Midbar, when Klal Yisrael lived near the Mishkan, there was no Heter Achilas Basar Taiva. They could only eat shlamim. Once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, that's how Rabbi Shmuel reads the psukim. Ki yirchak mimcha, ki yarchiv Hashem Elokei, only then. And it's a very remarkable phenomenon. It's almost, it may be unparalleled, depending on how you understand certain things. It's unparalleled that you have a post-Matan Torah special status for the Midbar that changes in Eretz Yisrael. Let me explain. Of course, if you're talking about mitzvot ha-tlios ba'aretz, mitzvot that are connected to the soil of Eretz Yisrael, or that depend on the makom of Eretz Yisrael, in more general terms, tzibur halachos, issues spoken in the past, so then we understand that Har Sinai is going to tell you that once you enter into Eretz Yisrael, but not before, do these institutions begin. But Shkita and Achilas Basar on the surface has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban actually makes this point in his Chidushim on Chulin, Daf Tazayin Amud Beis Zayin Amud Aleph, and he talks about this discussion of Rabbi Ishmael, and Rabbi Kiva, and he says one of the reasons that Rabbi Ishmael is not accepted by Rabbi Kiva is because Heichan Matsinu, where did we ever encounter that a Chovas Haguf, as opposed to a Chovas Karka, something that is on the surface unconnected to Eretz Yisrael and life in Eretz Yisrael per se, and yet it only begins upon entry into Eretz Yisrael. So this is a very important issue, and we'll get back to it. But basically, what is Rashi telling us? That this is referring to Basar Taiva, Basar Chulin. And then one more Rashi, Kasher Tzivisicha, Zavachta Kasher Tzivisicha, Namadnu, Sheish Tzivui Bezvicha, Hechi Yishchot, what does the word kasher tzivisicha mean? Torah Shabbat. We have a Mesorah. How many simanim do you cut? Where are the simanim? All the details. What is posel l'shchita? All the details of l'shchita are based on Mesorah, halacha l'moshe v'sinai, Torah Shabbat. That's the words kasher tzivisicha. So what comes out is that according to Rashi, posel chaf, chaf aleph, chafes refer are the makar for heter basar type. However, even this is not so simple. If you look at the Gemara, hopefully you all have Gemaras. Gemara in Chulin, Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara discusses these very same psukim. Gemara says, if you see where it says Dvarim Yud Beis on the right side of the page, towards the top, if you go down 3, 6, 8 lines down. Everybody have that? You see it says Dvarim Yud Beis. Rabbi Lazar HaKapar, Barevi Amr Matal Lomar Ach Kasher Yeachel Es HaTzvi V'chimah Lomadnu Mitzvi V'ayol. Why does the Torah bring in Sviva Ayol into the Psukim about Heter Achilas Basar Taiva? What does Sviva Ayol have to do with anything? So listen to this. That's our Psukim. B'chimala manu b'tsviva Ayol me'ata hareza bo l'lamed v'nim tzalamed makish Sviva Ayol l'psule ha'mukdashim. It's meant to compare Sviva Ayol to what the Psukim are talking about, which is, according to the Gemara, Psulei HaMukdashim. Remember that Rashi in Pasuk Tezvav said based on the Sifrei, and even though the pasuk seems like it's talking about chulin, it's talking about psul and mektoshim, something that used to be a karban that developed a mum, and now you can't bring it on the mizbeach, so you can eat it mostly regularly, but you can't enjoy the giza, the chelev, and so on. So now the Gemara is telling us that pasuk chaf through chaf base is also talking about psul and mektoshim, and we're comparing psul and mektoshim to tziva ayal. Ma psul and mektoshim b'shchita, af tziva ayal b'shchita. The old famous of shchita midibrei Torah, only midibrei Sofrim, man tani de polig aleidra of lozor akafa Rebbe hi, the tani Rebbe Yomar v'zavachta kasher tzivitzicha v'lameid, shenitztava moshe al adeshet al akona al rovecha v'oaf, al rov shnayim v'behema. There's a debate whether or not oaf, whether birds require shchita min haTorah or not. We pass from that they do. But basically, what is this Gemara telling us? That psulei hamuktashim is the subject matter of psukim chaf through chaf beis. So if you look at Rashi and Chulin, right here, Rashi says, Ma psulei hamuktashim b'shchita. Everybody have that? Rashi? On Chav Chesem Dalet. Ma psulei hamuktashim b'shchita. Dile'el nahu kra, ksiv, v'zavachta libkarecha. V'sifrei garcina makish tzvivayel v'behema. Ma behema b'shchita. Rashi says the Sifrei says that the pasuk in question, pasuk chaf and chaf aleph and chaf beis, is referring to basar chulin, not to psulei hamukdashim. But the Gemara thinks that it's referring to psulei hamukdashim. So once again, we have a clouded picture. Pasuk Tezvav, which the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra said is talking about Basar Chulin, and it sounds that way, according to the Sifrei, is talking about Psulim Mekdashim. Now the Pasuk, which seems to be talking about Basar Chulin, even according to the Sifrei, according to the Gemara, is talking about Psulim Mekdashim. It's even more acute in the Rambam. Look at the Rambam for the moment, in Perek Aleph of the Shechita, Halacha Aleph. We have it printed here on the pages. I've learned to be careful, I just say the pages. Rambam Hilchos Shechita Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph is on the fourth page. This is Haseh, Sheyishkot mi sheyirtza lecha basar chaya ba'oth. Notice the Rambam says all three, right? Domesticated animals, wild animals, oath, birds. Whoever wants to eat them, we'll get back to the mi sheyirtza formulation soon. The achakach, and only then, yocha. Shenemar, and what does he quote? Pasuk kaf. V'zavachta mibkarecha u'mitzonecha. The nemar, says the Rambam, bibchor balmum, and with regard to a bichor, I mean the first animal of the mother is a bichor, it's supposed to be karev, also as a karban, but let's say it develops a mum, so bichor balmum, you can eat without even pidyon, you can do regular shechita, and you can eat it bituma. Ach asher yachel es hatziva es ha'ayal halamarta shechaya kebehema linyan shechita uba'ofu omer sher yatsud tzayid chaya o'of v'shafach es dam melameid sheshvichas dam ha'of kishvichas dam ha'chaya. So yeah, I hear the question. It's a good question. Right, we'll get to that. If I don't forget, remember to bring it up or bring it up again. We'll just hold off on it for a moment. But it's a good question. Sorry, yeah.
The equation of the Gemara to touch him would resolve an issue of why the halachah shechita only by chulin. Well, if the whole emphasis is on kachim,
right,
then we should have Hilchot Shechita starting off with kachim.
What do you mean Hilchot Shechita starting off with kachim?
All the kasher tzivitzicha. Kasher tzivitzicha is said in the context of chulin.
Right.
Why shouldn't it be in the context of kachim?
Well, we'll see in a moment. That's one of the... we're not so sure what tzivitzicha means.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So that the question of whether the Gemara learns it resolves that issue.
Possibly. Let's hold off 1 second. I think we're on the same path. Basically, what is the Rambam telling us? That this pasuk is talking about Shkitas Chulin and Bechor Bal Mum at the same time. If you look at the Kesef Mishnah, right? For that you need the real Rambam, right? So the Kesef Mishnah asks this question. Kesef Mishnah says, I don't understand the Rambam at all. He, in Halacha Aleph, tells us that this pasuk is talking about Bechor Bal Mum. So if it's talking about Bechor Bal Mum, number one, the Gemara calls says it's talking about Psulei HaMukdashim. But the Rambam says it's talking about Bechor Bal Mum. But Rashi says in his Perush Al HaTorah that it's talking about Chulin, Bas HaTaiva. So first the Kesef Mishnah says, well, the truth is maybe we've all just been a little bit too influenced by Rashi. It doesn't mean it. Meaning, when you read Chumash, you read Rashi. That's been going on for a very long time, and for very good reason, because there was no one like Rashi. So basically, Kesef Mishnah says, we all read the Psukim, and we read them like Rashi. But, if you look at the Gemara in Chulin Daf Chaf Kesem and Aleph, which we also just looked at, actually, the Gemara says that it's talking not about Taiva, Basa Taiva, but Psulei HaMukdashim. However, says the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam doesn't even say it's talking about Psulei HaMukdashim. He says it's talking about Bechor Bal Mum. There's a little bit of a difference. Bechor Bal Mum, once you have a Bechor and then it develops a Mum, it doesn't even need Pidgeon. It doesn't need to be redeemed even before it can be treated like Chulin and eaten the Tumah and eaten, period. So the Kesef Mishnah says, well, there really are three levels here, and I don't understand it exactly, but according to the Rambam, there's no stira between this pasuk referring to at least two, if not three, of these issues. And that's how he leaves it. That's rather remarkable. But let me just add something else. Even Rashi says, Katzvi v'kayo, right? And Rashi, by the way, Rashi also in the Yud Zayin in Chulin, in that sugya I was talking about before, about the Midbar and Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, also indicates that the pasuk is talking about Psulei HaMukdashim. Rashi there on Yud Zayin and Aleph, and based by implication, remember earlier Rashi said on pasuk Tezvav, that why does it have to say Katzvi v'kayo? Because it's, since its origins are in Kodshim, you might think you have to eat at the Tahara. Kamash Malan, that now that it's no longer Kodshim, even though it does have some remnants of Kodshim, because you can't use the Giza, and you can't eat the Chelev, right? Nonetheless, when it comes to the issue of Tumah v'Tahara, you can treat it like Chulin. But what Rashi doesn't speak about in his Perush Al HaTorah, but he does make reference to on Yud Zayin of an Aleph and Chulin, is that the very same pasuk appears again in pasuk Chaf, Katzvi v'Chayo. So if you say that we're talking about Psulei HaMukdashim, it has its origins in Kodshim, we understand why we need to explain. It doesn't matter, you could still eat a Petuba, even though its origins are in Kodesh. But pasuk Chaf is talking about Chulin Mitchila V'Yatzof. So why do we need to say Katzvi v'Chayo? He doesn't say. One other point. Kasher Tzivisicha. You brought it up, right? So Rashi says, what is Kasher Tzivisicha? Torah Shebal Peh. Actually, where does he get it from? From the Gemara that we just read on Chaf Chesam Aleph, which says that, you know, how many simanim in the oath, right? All the dinim of Shechita were revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai, that's Kasher Tzivisicha. By the way, that's the interpretation of the Rambam of the word Kasher Tzivisicha as well. Look at Perek Aleph Shechita, and it's really interesting. Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid. Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid? Yeah, Halacha Dalid. On the last page, on page... is it on page 4? Yeah, okay. Zvicha zu ha'mura b'Torah stam. When the Torah says Zvicha, Shechita, Tzorach l'farish osa, v'leida, v'eza makom min ha'behema shochtim. Like, what does it mean? You know, where do you do that? Where do you make the incision? The kamashira shchita, how much? Ubeiz adavar shochtin, with what? Umasai shochtin, when? The hechan shochtin, how? Like an awful lot of missing information. The ketzad shochtin, I'm not sure what the difference is between ketzad and hech and. Ketzad and how? Hechan, where? Umahin advar, where it means in the tzavar. Probably. A lot of questions. V'al kol advar ma'elu tzivanu batora v'amar v'zavachta mivkarecha. When you know the psukim and you know the sifrei and the other things, and then you read the treatment by the Rishonim, you're looking at it from a position of knowledge and strength. It just opens up a different world. So the Rambam basically says, how do we know this? Kasher tzivisicha v'achalta v'sharecha. Shekol advar ma'elu alper tziva bahen kishar tar shivalper. Right? This is the Gemara in Chof Kassim and Aleph, Torah Shabbat Peh. But the Rambam says, this is a great example. This exemplifies, right, Torah in general. Right, the extent to which we're reliant upon Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? Kishar Torah Shabbat Peh, Shehi Nikre Mitzvah, Kemosh B'yarnu, B'tilas Chibur Zeh. If you look at the Rambam's Hakdama in Yad HaZaka, he explains that the words Kasher Tzivisicha, or Tzivui, has a connotation of Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Rambam is saying, this Kasher Tzivisicha in Shchitas Kulin plays off of that general theme. That general theme is supported by this specific example. So here in Hilchos Shchita, Perek Aleph, Halacha Daled, the Rambam likes this pshat of Kasher Tzivisicha, of the Gemara of Kassim and Aleph, because it brings him, it reinforces back to his Hakdama. Great. However, there theoretically could be another reading of Kasher Tzivisicha. Instead of saying it means, as I commanded you, Torah Shabbat Peh, maybe it means somewhere else earlier in the Torah. Does Shkita appear anywhere earlier in the Torah? Kachim! So now look at the Ramban. The Ramban is Perish Al HaTorah. Bottom of page 3? I'm not sure. I think we have the same pages, right? The Tam de Zavachta. Okay? Zavachta kasher tzivisicha al das rabosenu. First he quotes the Gemara. Kasher tzivisicha al peh mehalacha l'moshe misinai melamid shenistav moshe ala veshet ala kana arov echad be'olf arov shnai. All the details that were given in Torah Shabbat Peh, how many simanim, where to do the surgery, how to identify the organs. Da ki shchita b'lashon hakodesh, says the Ramban, hu hi kares simane hatzavor. Means cutting the simanim in the throat. The al tachush bavur sh'amar, lest you ask, sometimes we use the term shchita to indicate killing. Vayishchatem bamidbar, kihivalitza. That's just a popular expression, right? Shazavachosam kitzon. It's like a mashal. He slaughtered them like he slaughters tzon, but the real meaning is shchitas simanim. Okay. And then he says, Bine tziva b'karbonos b'shachat b'shachatu shuba simani atzav. Bine mitchila tziva shiyeh kol ma'ashehim ochlim shlamim, because that's going to be in the midbar, like we said. Vehem shchutim k'mishpat ha'karbonos, and therefore they had to be slaughtered according to the rules of karbonos. The atah, now, in Dvarim, when we're talking about Basar chulin, kishabala hatir basar chulin, amar bezavachta mitkarecha mitzionecha kasher tzivisicha. The yosam karbonos, the kasher tzivisicha means, referring back to Vayikra, the tochalosam chulin bechol tavas nashecha, lomar shiyatirin chulin bechomakom, ubevad shiyuzvuchim kasher tziva mitchila biyosam kulam karbonos. As long as you practice the protocol of kadshim, on these chulin, there's a heter achiva. That's what the Ramban is saying. The zeu pshuto shomikra, shomitzuk mikra zeh, al anochem. That's the simple reading of the pasuk. Not like the Gemara in Chaf Ches, Samad Aleph, that it's a reference to Torah Shabbat Peh. Although both could be true, and the Ramban thinks both are true. And then he points out, the shema rabosenu niskavnu bazeh. Maybe that's what the Chazal understood too, kishomer b'sifrei, and it says this there, kasher tzivisicha, ma kodshim b'shvita, Avchulim b'shchita, v'hinei mitzvah sashchita mefureshes kan u'muvueres midivar Rabbeinu b'kabbalah. Both are true. So according to the Sifrei and according to the Ramban, kasher tzivisicha refers to kadshim. Now what's fascinating also is that the Rambam, now look at the Rambam again, but not the ones we saw. Look at the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos Asei Kuf Membav, the last entry. Ram says, a mitzvah kuf membav, 146th mitzvah saseh, Shetzivanu lishkot behemach kaya v'ov, v'achar yeochel b'saran. Right? The shelo yilen heter, here he adds, I'll try to explain that when we get to the mitzvah, the nature of the mitzvah, shelo yilen heter ele b'shkita bilvat. V'hu amari yisale, that's what the pasuk means when it says, v'zavakta mivkarecha mitzonecha kasher tzivisicha. The lashon sifrei, sifrei explains, v'zavakta ma mukdashim b'shkita afchulim b'shkita kasher tzivisicha. What did the Rambam do here? The Rambam combined the Sifrei and the Gemara. I don't think he had a different gears than the Sifrei. He moved over the drasha of the Sifrei to the Zavachta away from Kasher Tzivisicha so he could have his cake and eat it too. I don't mean in a... I don't think that there's anything controversial about what he did. In other words, Kasher Tzivisicha, that refers to Torah Shebal Peh, the Rambam read that Gemara in Chulin Chof Chesamid Aleph, and he was enamored by it. After all, it fits in perfectly with his, and may have been part of the foundation of his whole theory that he develops in the Hagdamah to Yad HaChazaka about the relationship between Torah Shebal Sav and Torah Shebal Peh. Kasher Tzivisicha is a reference to Torah Shebal Peh, is a linchpin in the Rambam's whole approach to Halacha. But he also read the Sifrei that says Kasher Tzivisicha, that the pasuk v'zavachta here in Shchitas Chulin is connected to Shchitas Kachim. So he moved it over to v'zavachta. If this is the case, so then we can really appreciate the problems that we raised before, which were how come pasuk Tesvav, which the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra say Kipshuto refers to Basar Taiba, but if you read the Psukim, it sounds like Basar Taiba, right? But the Rashi and the Sifrei say they refer to Psulei HaMakdashim. How come Torah Shebichsav is writing in such a way to mislead us if Torah Shebaal Peh is telling us that these Psukim are talking about something else? Then we have the opposite problem in a way in Pasuk Chaf through Chaf Beis. How come the real makar for Basar Chulin, when we finally get to it, right, also, according to the Gemara in Chaf Ches, is talking about Psulei HaMukdashim, right? And according to the Rambam, who both in Sefer Mitzvos and in Yad HaChazaka, closest is the makar for Basar Chulin, it's Perek Aleph Echo Shechita Halacha Aleph, it's Mitzvah Kuf Mem Vav, which is Shechitas Chulin, and yet the Pasuk is shared with Bechor Bal Mum. Why and how? Another question we asked. According to Rashi, if Katsviva Ta'ayal is there in order to preclude your saying, maybe you need to be Tahar when you eat the Basar Shachot. So fine, in Pasuk Tesvav, which is Psulei HaMukdashim, where the origin is Kachim, that makes great sense. But does that make any sense if we're talking Mitzchila V'Yad Sof with Basar Chulin? Why would anybody need to tell you that Katsviva Kayal, you can eat a Betumah? Of course you can eat a Betumah. It's not Kachim. And then add to that the two other points that I mentioned last week, which is Masechet Chulin is ensconced in Seder Kachim. And Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos Zraim gives an explanation based on the order of the Pesukim in Rei. But it's still an interesting question. We couldn't put it anywhere else. I think I mentioned, or maybe I didn't, the Meiri took Nida and Chulin out of Kachim and Taharos, or out of Taharos and Kachim, and he, you know, rebound them, I guess, you know, into Moed. He's not arguing with the Rebbe, the Masada, the Mishnah. I meant for practical reasons. He said, listen, no one learns Kachim, no one learns Taharos. He says it separately. In the beginning of the Masechet Nida and the beginning of the Masechet Chulin. He says, no one learns Kachim, no one learns Taharos. You know, it's only Echad Ba'ir. And, but Nida, which is Taharos HaMishpacha, which is the foundation of the Jewish family, and Chulin, which is, I guess, also the foundation of the Jewish family, the diet and staple of the Jewish family. Because everybody needs to know these halachos. Right? It isn't just meat, it's also, you know, taroves and basa b'chala. So he said, you know, take it out of kachim and taros and bind them with moed, which you know, every single Jew knows. Right? He was too pessimistic on one side and maybe too optimistic on the other. Okay. But either way, that was the... So why really is it ensconced in the middle of conscience? And I think we read last time that according to the Gemara, on base of the base, when the Gemara, we start off with the Mishnah here, right? Bakol shochtin, hakol shochtin, v'shosh u'shkitasam k'sheva. And the Gemara right away asks, what does that mean? Hakol shochtin v'chatchila, shkitasam k'sheva, first lines of the Gemara, di'aved. It'll only be di'aved. So it seems like a stira, is it v'chatchila, is it b'di'aved? So the Gemara says, on base of the base, the first answer of the Gemara is we're talking about a case. Look here again, just review. Amar Rabba Bar Ula. This is 3, 6, 9, 12. About 14 lines down. 14 lines down on base on base. Amar Rabba Bar Ula. Hachi Katani. Everybody have that?
Yeah.
Hakol Shokhtin. Afilu Tameh Bechulin. Gemara says, even if you're Tameh, you can Shech Bechulin. Gemara says, Tameh Bechulin. My lememra, what are you talking about? Tame has no prohibition in chulin. So what's the chiddush? The answer is bechulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, v'kasavar chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh kekodesh dami. We're talking about a person who commits to treat his chulin like taros, and that's binding, and therefore he can't be metame. Ketzer also, what does he do? Maybe sakin aruka. However, if it's real kadshim, lo yishkod shema yiga bebasar in shachad amar barali shalonagati shkitasak sheira. That's the explanation of the Mishnah according to this mandamar. Then the Gemara continues and says, "Does this belong here? Or does it belong in Masechet Zvachim? Right? Where does it really belong? 2 days in the Gemara. It really belongs here. It's also mentioned in Zvachim." It really belongs in Zvachim, it's also mentioned here. But my point is as follows. Chulin's in the middle of Kadshim, and the first sugya and reference to the Mishnah and Chulin, even without being explicit in the Mishnah, is a case of Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh and Kadshim. But according to the Sifri and the Ramban, and the Rambam on the Zavachta, and the Sifri and the Ramban on Kasher Tzivisicha, basically what are we being told? That Shchitas Chulin comes from the world of Kachim. Not everything's perfect. So the Psukim, getting back to the Psukim now, the whole context of Psukim in Re'ei is the Beis HaMikdash, it's Kachim, right? All of a sudden, but Rak B'chol Avas Navshecha. Right? However, there's a Heter Basar, what's it doing here? There might be other reasons why it's here, it's just to provide, you know, perspective and the full picture. But the point is that the two psukim that are candidates for Basar Chulin both end up either also or primarily referring to some sort of kachim or kachim hyphenated chulin. Right? Psule amukdashim, bakar balmum. Why? Perfect. Because even Basar Chulin, its shchita comes from kachim. So, katsviva ka'aya. So Rashi says in Pasuk Tesvav, in order to preclude, you might have to eat it, but tahara, after all, it used to be, and it still has remnants of kadshim. So we ask, but what about Pasuk Chaf through Chafes? That's only talking, according to Rashi, about Pasuk Kulin? The answer is that's true. But, if the perspective is that Shchitas Kulin has its origin in Shchitas Kadshim, and it's meant to elevate Achilas Basar, so we still need to say katsvi b'kayo. Of course you can do it b'tuma, but one might have thought that, you know, maybe you could only basar if you want to treat it as really kachim. Just like the first sugya in chulin is talking about chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Kamash malon, it's not so. The Rambam, as we saw, mitzvah hasei sheyishkot mi sheyirtza lecha basar behema chayi v'ov, ach kachi achel, shenemar v'zavachta mivkarecha mitzonecha. V'nemar b'vchor Balmum, ach, kasher yachelas atzvi ba'asayo. Halamarta, shechaya kebehema, le'inyan shchita. Uba'ov omer, and so on. So the Radvaz asks a question. Lamadnu, shechaya kebehema, le'inyan shchita. Do we really need to know We need a limud to teach you that a wild animal is treated like a behemoth when it comes to shechita. Chai is like a behemoth in almost everything. Exactly. That's Rav Baz's question. Others ask in Kesa Mishnah as well. They say, well, what's going on here? Chai is always a behemoth. If you want to transact an animal, is there a difference between a chai and a behemoth? If your chaya gores somebody, or your behemoth gores somebody, does it make a difference? Or eats your neighbor's wheat?
And practically, you have to be able to catch it.
What?
Chaya is harder
to... No, okay, who cares? I mean, but once you catch him, the question is, you know, once you have him, whether he needs shechita or not. I mean, there are differences between chai and behema. I'm not suggesting that they're not, but I'm saying relevant to the need for and the effectiveness of shechita. That's what the Radbaz is saying. Kimat b'kol ha'alacha, not in all halacha, but almost in all halacha, chai is behema. Why the need for limud, a hekesh, here? So he gives the answer that you just suggested, which is chai is behema in almost all matters, but not in karbanos. You can't bring a carbon from a chaya. So the Radbaz says, I might have thought that shechita would apply only to behema. Now if you interpret kasher tzivisicha, or v'zavachta ma b'kadshim, or just learn the psukim the way we were learning them, and this becomes very reasonable. Let me answer the oath question that you asked. Yes, a very good question. That is, well, oath becomes a bit of a problem because the method of kadshim and oath is not through shechita, it's through malika, right? You use your nail in the back of the neck, and but we do shechita schulin, we don't do that, obviously. We do regular old-fashioned shechita. It's a very good question. I only have two things to say about it. Number one, the Prima Gadim, in his psicha to Yaradeya, so he discusses the mitzvah of shechita, and whether there is a mitzvah of shechita, something which we still have to discuss, part of our introduction. And he says, the Prima Gadim says, if you look carefully at the Rambam, it sounds like we're basically saying chai is like behema, and then it says, right, halamarta shechaya ke behema linyan shechita, that's what we just read in the Rambam, and then it says, uba'of hu omer asher yatsud tzayit chaya o'of v'shafa chazdama melamed shishvi chazdama o'of kishvi chazdama chaya. Sounds like it's a third level. So the Prima Gadim says, maybe an oath, shechita is a matir. Meaning without shechita, it doesn't work. But maybe there's no mitzvah. Maybe when the Rambam says, mitzvahs asay, sheyishkav mi sheyutzalacha basar behema chaya, maybe the oath part isn't daska. Then in the end he says, I'm pretty sure the Rambam throws an oath as well. If we would distinguish between chaya, basar, and oath, that would resolve partly the question that you're asking. But I think there's a better resolution. And let me just highlight it in one way, very quickly. And that is, if you look at the Rambam and the Ravid in the end of Hilchos Maisar Karbanos, the Rambam Hilchos Maisar Karbanos discusses the problem of Shchutei Chutz. What is Shchutei Chutz? You take a karban, and instead of bringing it, like we've been reading in these psukim, to the Beis HaMikdash, right, you shecht it outside Olmoy. So the rule is, it has to be Roy LePesach Olmoy. If you have a korban that is fit to be brought to the Mikdash or the Mishkan as a korban, and instead the Roy LePesach Olmoy is treated, right, Bachutz, so that incurs severe onshin. That's the parsha of Shchutei Chutz in Vayikra, Perek Yud Zayin. So what happens if you take a bird, right, who was supposed to be malikad, for lack of a better verb, right, in the Pesach Ol Moed, and you take it b'chutz, and you shecht it? Do you violate Shchutei Chutz or not? So the Rambam says clearly yes, and the Ravid is bothered by it. That's the discussion between the Rambam and the Ravid in the last chapter of Maaseh Karbanos. In other words, according to the Rambam, you violate Shchutei Chutz of a karban, the shchit of the shchita, which basically means that you could argue, I think, that the requirement of Malika is a special additional din in Kodshei Oath. But it's not a requirement in the Heksher Abasa. Because in theory, there could have been a Shechitas Oath B'Kodshim. It's Roy L'Pesach Ol Moed, even though you can't bring it that way. Mashal L'Madav Adav, let me give you one other example. And I think it fits into the larger picture. Kasher Tzivi Sicha, as we described it, right? According to the Rambam in his way, and the Ramban and the Sifrei in their way, Kasher Tzivi Sicha refers back to Kodshim. So the interesting thing is that the Bach asked this question. Bach in the Tur in Siman Aleph says Kasher Tzivi Sicha, and he has the Rambam's interpretation in Halacha Dalet, and Rashi in his Perush Al Torah, and the Gemara in Chavchas Siman Aleph. How do they explain Kasher Tzivi Sicha? Torah Shebal Peh. So the Bach quotes this. He says, I don't understand why he couldn't say that Kasher Tzivi Sicha just means a reference to Vayikra Perek Aleph Kodshim. It's just remarkable that he asked it this way, like Betzmimus Libo, you know, Ke'ilu, that he never saw the Sifrei and he never read the Ramban in Perush Al Torah. I don't know. It doesn't say like the Sifrei, or why don't the others interpret like the Sifrei or the Ramban. He says, I have a great idea. Why not say Kasher Tzivi Sicha? It's Kodshim. A new idea. And then he says, of course, it's impossible. Why is it impossible? Because the Gemara says in Chulin, on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Gemara has a whole sugya, that there's an important distinction between Shechitas Kodshim and Shechitas Chulin. That is, that our Mishnah, here on Beis Amud Aleph, even though it's Hakdama, we're firmly ensconced on Daf Beis here, Hakol Shoftim, Shechitas and Ksheira, right? Chutz, Micherishot of the Katan. Shema Yekalkalu. If you have a cheresh, shot of a katan, somebody who's not competent, or a minor who's not competent, and they do shkita, it's possible. Why? Shema Yekalkalu. Great. Shema Yekalkalu shkitasa. Bekulan sheshachtu ve'akeyum ro'no son, shkitasan ksheir. However, if it's witnessed by a gadol, gadol omid al gabav, as the Gemara calls it in Sukkah, and based on the day, so it's okay. Even cheresh, shot of a katan. We'll discuss the details of that. That's not so simple. Kereshot of a katan is a big issue. Okay. So, Kereshot of a katan work with God Lomid al Gamav, right? So the Gemara says in Chulin later on, Daf Yud Beis, we see from this Gemara, from this Mishnah rather, a proof to the position of Rabbi Nassan. Here. See if I can find it right away. Oh. Yud Beis on the Beis? At the two dots, 3, 6, 9, about 10 lines down. Everybody have that? I think it's 10. Oh. Yeah. The Kulin Shishokim Achayim Rosalus from Shkita and Cher, it's a quote of our Mishnah. Ma'an Tana de Lobi'in and Kavana Lushkita, Amarav Rab Nathani. Right? Who says you don't need Kavana and Shkita, it's Rab Nathan? The Tani Ushia Zeira the Minchabraya Zarek Sakin Lenoatz of Akosel Vaholcha the Shachta Kedarka Rabnasan Machshir Vachachamid Posel. The guy throws a knife at a wall, right? This can happen, and the behema happens to be there, right? So he probably does it also, you know, behind his back or something, you know. So, anyways, and he does a perfect shkita. Hey, does it work or not? So Rav Nassim said, it works. Achalim posel. So who tanel? Who amr lahalachka Rav Nassim? Ayva bina molech maybe. Shehol chobal kedarka. What's the problem? I mean, and he, when he threw this perfect, you know, this perfect strike or whatever it was, it did molech maybe too. So, however, the Gemara goes on to explain that this is true in Chulin. But in Kodshim, Hamisatzek, Bekodshim, is Pasol. In Kodshim, you need Kavanah. You need Lishma. Right? You have to know what you're doing. You have to have intention for what you're doing. Otherwise, it's not a proper carpet. So this is the Bach. Bach says, I have a great idea. Let's interpret Kasher Tzivi Sicha, meaning Kodshim. He says, but it can't be. Because Chulin doesn't need Kavanah. Kodshim require Kavanah. So obviously, the Shechitas Chul and Shechitas Kodshim are two different ideas, nothing to do with each other. That's the Bach. But according to the Ramban and the Sifrei and the Rambam, they have a lot to do with each other. The answer is, obviously there are special requirements for a korban that aren't necessarily part of the definition of Maisa Shechita. Because we borrow the concept of Maisa Shechita, the need for Maisa Shechita from Kodshim. But it's not an avoda. Right? There are two dinim here. We take something that is part of an avoda because we want to elevate Shechitas Chulin. But it's still Chulin. It's like the Gemara asked on Deis on the Beis when the Gemara said Tameh. So what are you talking about? Tameh B'chulin. So the Gemara says, oh, we're talking about Chulin Shenasa Al Taharas HaKodesh. But generally speaking, so again, it's fascinating. According to the way I was reading Rashi, Katsviva Ka'ayah. Because you might have thought that even Shechitas Chulin is only B'tahara. But it's not. But of course, Kodshim is. In other words, just because we learned from Kodshim, we now have to be discriminating what do we take from Kodshim as a symbol that we're elevating the process of Shechitas Chulin. But at the very same time, we understand that it's not a Chatzah Shel Kodshim. There was no Hakdasha. It's not going to be Kodesh. It's not an Avoda. It's not going to be followed up by Kabbalah and Holacha and Zrika. And there's no Pigol and so on and so forth. So that, I think, is the answer to the Bach. The answer is, the requirement of Kavana isn't a Hagdara in Maisa Shechita, it's a Din in the Avodah Shebe Shechita. That part, we do not insist on applying to Chul. If this is the case, if this is the case, so we understand, I think, we have a foundation, but certainly there are two perspectives in Rishonim, whether or not Shechitas Chulin is comparable to Kodshim, are based on Kodshim or not, but at least according to many Rishonim, it appears that the institution of Shechita, even the Chulin, comes from the world of Kodshim. If that's the case, we should move on to the next point. I guess we'll try to finish with this next week. And that is to understand whether or not Shechitas Chulin is a mitzvah. In other words, if we look at Shechita as simply the mechanism that is motzi, basar, and behema, midei nevela, and allows you to eat it, it's not necessarily a mitzvah, it's a matir. On the other hand, if we really believe that Shechita is there to elevate the process of Achilas Basar, and this is what the Ramban meant in Noach, I think the Ramban's work out perfectly. The Ramban's emphasis on how Noach may have brought the first animal as a korban, but even Mizbeach, according to him, that's all connected with Heter Achilas Basar Ayide Shechita. I think it works perfectly for the Ramban. But if that's the case, so then the idea that this might be a mitzvah would make a great deal of sense. But what kind of mitzvah is it? Kiyomaseh, chiyomaseh. What exactly is the nature of the mitzvah? That's one. And number two, how does this affect other dinim, if there really is a mitzvah? Let's say you accomplish shechita without the mitzvah. Let's say by somebody who's not a bar chiyuba, like a katan. Or let's say you hold mitzvahs trichos kavana, and you don't have kavana. Can you, if there is a mitzvah, can you have the heter of shechita without the mitzvah? Thirdly, we make a bracha on shechita. Does the bracha prove that there is a mitzvah? A. B. How does this bracha compare to other brachos? To birchas mitzvah, to birchas ha-nenim. I want to follow up next week, before we start going straight, on some of these issues, and then after that we'll be going, I did do the Gemara in Tezayin Yud Zayin, and then we'll be going straight into the Yom Kippur. Okay.